Well, good morning. Don has pretty much done a very nice job of succinctly doing what presenting what we are trying to do at Maricopa. And I have to say that my background is remote sensing and hydrology, and it's been a humbling experience to get involved in genetic related research. So I'll trust that you, the audience, and other people that are not here will tell people like me when we're collecting data that are no use to you as breeders, right? And so Don's more or less alluded to that fact. We have capabilities in remote sensing now we call proximal sensing because we're not doing it from space, we're doing it from a tractor or some closed platform. We can collect huge volumes of data, but whether that's information or not is something that I need to get back from you. These are my co-authors. Mike Gore, now at Cornell. Bob Strand is an electrical engineer. Kelvin Rodriguez is an undergraduate student who's done some amazing work in programming with me. Muhammad Bilal is visiting me from Pakistan. Pedro Andrade Sanchez at University of Arizona. So this has definitely been a multi-author, multi-year effort to integrate expertise so that we can collect phenotyping data multiple years, multiple types of cotton plants. This is the field that you saw earlier in Don's presentation from a helicopter platform, which we fly routinely as a research tool, obviously not an operational tool. So what are we interested in doing? Obviously, we want to find ways to increase crop yields, knowing that climate change is underway and that water availability, particularly in the U.S. Southwest, is being challenged by urban growth and availability of water in the ground and Colorado River and other resources. We want to find ways to do the genetic improvement in economic ways, and particularly the research is we want to find better ways to manage heat and drought tolerance. We think that a good bit of progress can be made by developing new ways, the field-based phenotyping, through this remote sensing slash proximal sensing. What it entails is pretty much anything that we can come up with in our minds that is affordable to deploy on a tractor, includes spectral observations, either active or passive sensors, for chlorophyll content, leaf area index, fractional cover, photosynthetic efficiency, water stress, all the things that have been in the literature for the last several decades, but now quite affordable to collect. Radiometers, imagers, we don't have to collect images, but you know, we can collect both and see what's effective, high data rates, do we need the extra data, we deploy both on the tractor. And then, of course, the last point here is that we can collect extremely high data rates. Do we need those high data? We don't know yet, but we will collect them and see what the results are. Well, one of the earlier phenotyping efforts that we did was just to collect a vegetation index. Very easy to collect with a proximal active sensor. It doesn't rely on the solar illumination conditions, which could be relevant for the U.S. Southeast, for example, where it's cloudy conditions. So a very easy measurement, and it's definitely related to water stress. We've done that. We also know that canopy temperature in this at the conference, this has been reported quite a bit, of a strong relationship between canopy temperature and plant variety at different times of day. Now, I point out that one of the things we've been doing here, we don't just measure the temperature at one time of day, we measure it multiple times of day at multiple view angles, because the way you look at the plant depends on the solar illumination. Obviously, that changes over the course of a day. On the right-hand side of the figure, we set up a tripod to just to illustrate the dynamic nature of temperature. And I don't know, my luck with animations and PowerPoint is usually poor, so I'll click on this and see if it'll work. Alas, it does not. Okay, never mind. What I wanted to show you in this slide was that we recorded a time sequence over a couple of minutes to show the canopy temperature of cotton leaves is extremely dynamic. So when you see people report on results of canopy temperature, you have to ask them how they collected the data and at what time of day did they collect the data, and do they do any differential analysis? And that's one of the things that we do. Now, the reason for mentioning that in this LIDAR talk is that, is that the, another way of measuring plant water stress is the canopy temperature or leaf geometry, because the wilting response is rather dramatic and rapid. So this is the LIDAR here. This is either an inexpensive or an expensive tool that's available that can be deployed on tractors. It's light detection and ranging. That's expansion of LIDAR. It essentially measures the time of flight between where the source is and the target, so the double time, return time. This particular instrument that we use is a modulated time, so it's not exactly just a pulse that sends out, but it's a 7 nanoseconds, so it's a very sophisticated electronic package that we don't invent, that we purchase off the shelf. It consists of a scanning mirror that spins around 40 hertz, 43 hertz, so you get a circular scan of the crop as you drive through the field. Now, you may have seen some images from LIDAR that have been produced that are stupendous photographic quality. We can't produce that because we're not in a fixed location. So we have to do an analysis that's somewhat different. Because the tractor is yawing and pitching and rolling a little bit as it moves through the field, we get scan lines that will overlap or have gaps. We can still reconstruct a canopy view of the cotton canopy. We look at the near infrared, which is 7 nanometers, because that's the brightest part of the spectrum for LIDAR as opposed to red, which is the other available wavelength. You have to be aware that these might have hazardous conditions to class 3B LIDAR, so you don't want to stare at this thing, but it's okay if there's light scattered off of it. Spot size is very small, 2.5 millimeters. You're resolving heights on the order of centimeters. So you can potentially get a very accurate measure of the canopy geometry. So this is the rationale for it. We can measure plant height with acoustics. We can do it by hand in slow ways. With LIDAR, we think we can do all of that in a semi-automated way. Do over the whole field at multiple times a day, and we can incorporate that in those other data streams, including surface temperature and spectral reflectance. But the obstacles, and as it will be clear from the results that I'll show you here today, it's a complicated thing to do. Simple in concept, especially considering that we can buy these off the shelf, but integrating them into a tractor platform is difficult. Very large data files, well, maybe not to everybody, but I think a terabyte of data per day is a large data set. So this is fills up your hard drive. In fact, we have to use solid-state drives in the field because the tractor is bouncing around. We need special processing routines. Obviously, completely overwhelms any simple programming languages. You have to program this in something like C, which we do. We also need more sophisticated data loggers. We can't just use simple Campbell Scientific data loggers. We use a National Instruments PCI-X data logger that can handle those very high throughputs and record them without loss over a course of surveys. We use GPS RTK, which is at 5 hertz. So we might have to interpolate. We have to interpolate those locations as we move through the field. We have to build our own code, which we will offer to anybody that's interested in replicating this experiment. And we spent a great deal of effort in developing the C++ code. And we utilize an open source library called Point Cloud Library, which has routines for computing distances, canopy geometry, reconstructing a three-dimensional world on your computer. And we also incorporate a database program, PostgreSQL, and GIS software shapefiles, so these can all be stored and retrieved and queried by plot. So we're looking at individual cotton varieties over the course of several hours and over several weeks. This is just some of the equipment. On the upper left is the LIDAR unit. It's a couple of pounds. This is just 30 centimeters long. Here's the scanning meter, so it just spins around with a motor. On the right is the National Instruments Data Logger, which is a mess of wires. It takes a lot of time to integrate this simple device into a data logging system. On the lower panels here is our newly acquired high throughput platform, a high clearance tractor Lee Avenger, and the toolbar is here. And on the right, you can see that how the LIDAR is mounted on a pole over one row, but actually it's over the furrow between the rows, so we can collect two rows at a time. We have two LIDARs, so we can collect four rows of cotton simultaneously. You saw this in John's previous slides. It just shows you the experimental field. It's drip irrigation. And the colors indicate that we're controlling for well water conditions and water limited conditions. And the color, these colors obviously indicate that there's water stress. What do the point clouds look like? I hope to bring to you today a dynamic, scalable image, but the software data sets weren't cooperating, just like the video showing you earlier didn't cooperate. So here are some snapshots of what the cotton looks like when you viewed it from the LIDAR. You can see the two rows of cotton. You can discriminate the bare soil patches. So obviously, if you look down here, you can see the row structure where we irrigated. The rotation is artificial here. But if you look at these and stare at them long enough, you can resolve individual leaves. Stems are more difficult to resolve, but you definitely can resolve the overall shape of the plant and the leaf density. This is an animation to give you an idea of what the tractor is seeing as you go through the cotton field. It's just frame by frame. You can see in the bottom part of the graph the furrows. It's noisy, which means it has to be filtered. For example, here this is all tractor. When the LIDAR scans, it scans 360 degrees, so it's getting reflections off the undercarriage of the tractor. But here you can clearly see the leaf canopy structure of the cotton as it goes through, and these clusters are leaves, so we can get the leaf angle distribution. Just grabbing one of those images, we can take some simple metrics, get canopy height and canopy width. We can look at the density profile here on the lower left. We can also do some asymmetric measurements here. We can look at canopy width north of the row and south of the row. So where are we going with this? The idea is that, yes, you can do very simple measurements by hand. You can do more sophisticated measurements with acoustic sensing of plant height. And with the LIDAR, we can get far more detailed measurements. What we're working on now is to validate that data. Well, I can't report that today, unfortunately, because of the large data sets. But we're well on our way to doing that, and we'll report that in the next 6 months. So what I'd leave you the message today is it's a new technology. It's not ready to roll out yet for phenotyping groups, but we hope soon it'll resolve the canopy shape accurately, canopy height, width, density. In 2014, we'll be participants in the RBTN program. And we'll use that field that you saw illustrated in the helicopter platform. We'll map four rows at a time. We'll have the software fully implemented, incorporating a database structure. And we'll see what we can do. And we'll see if this is a cost-effective technique or whether this would be a very specialized tool. Thanks very much.
Or is that beyond what you're planning to do?
Well, that would be something that other people on the group would do, like Mike Gore. I would not do that, but...
But you have the data to do that, right?
Yes, we do, and if we don't do it, we can share it with somebody that would be willing to do that. Yes?
So, for the parity, you measure the chemistry temperature and so on. I mean, I'm planning to measure the disease development or just directly measure the fiber quality on the plants of the bowl so that breeders can pick it without harvesting at all, down the road. Are you planning to develop some of those new tools?
It hasn't been part of the protocol now. It could be incorporated if there's sufficient interest. I don't know if I've made it clear, but there's a monumental amount of labor that goes into pulling this off that we talked about. The hardware deployment from scratch, because none of this has been assembled before. So no, those are very good questions, and if there's interest in incorporating that, we'll try to find a way. Please contact us, me or anybody here, anybody involved at Maricopa would be willing to discuss with you how we could do that.
Who's taking care of the data analysis? You have lots of data, huge data. And how do you get the information from that pile of data?
At this point, most of the data analysis falls on Mike Gore's shoulders. I'm part of that. Kelly Thorpe in the back is involved in some of that data analysis. Pedro Andrade Sanchez at University of Arizona is involved. Different people. So, as I say, contact us as a group or individually, and we should discuss what should be analyzed and what the priorities of that data analysis should be.
Thank you.
Thank you.